Brothers and sisters, there is a woman who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. She is Mother Teresa. For she was neither good-looking nor robust in health, she didn't seem to have anything worth admiring from a physical perspective. However, if we take a look at her life, it was truly beautiful and praiseworthy. Mother Teresa received God's calling in 1946 and decided to dedicate her life to the poor. Called the Mother of the Poor, she brought people dying on the streets to her home where she cared for them. Her service began with such acts, and eventually she founded the Missionaries of Charity. She began her work in the slums of Calcutta, India, and engaged in relief work for orphans and lepers in India and many parts of the world. For 45 years, she devoted herself to the poor, the sick, orphans, and the dying. And in 1979, she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Gradually expanding her work, she established 610 organizations in 123 countries, which included nursing homes, shelters, soup kitchens, counseling centers, orphanages, schools, etc. She even donated all the money from the Nobel Peace Prize to the poor. Refusing to attend the awards dinner, she requested that the funds for the ceremony be used for the poor instead. She didn't live for herself, but led a life of devotion and service for humanity. In this generation, where selfishness and evil seem to grow, she became an inspiration, lighting the torch of goodness. Brothers and sisters, are you inspired by someone's talents and deeds? Consider him your role model and try to emulate him? In our life or in our Christian life? Or there are biblical figures and there are outstanding individuals in the world and you like them, you want to emulate them. I think you harbor such thoughts. Let's say someone looks beautiful or awesome. People in the world fall in love with pop singers or TV stars, imitate their personal tastes, and are curious about everything they do. Others love and admire politicians or athletes. By the way, those who are indeed worthy of our respect and admiration are found in the Bible. Jesus Christ exemplified sacrifice to the point of dying for humanity. Enoch was brought up to heaven alive. Abraham was filled with faith and goodness. Moses was meeker than any man on the face of the earth. And David demonstrated both faith and deep spiritual love. By the way, we can find another kind of goodness through Dorcas, featured in today's passage. You may not be familiar with this biblical figure. She is featured in the Bible, but we haven't heard about focus many times on her woman. Preachers don't usually quote this woman. You may not be familiar with the details of her story, but through this message, I think you can understand about her, and we can understand how she was blessed, especially she was revived from death, which is a tremendous blessing. And we can realize that no matter what kind of trouble, we can receive resolution. Even though we may have serious disease, we can receive healing. That's why the shepherd dealt with this woman. We shouldn't just, there was such a woman and forget about it. we have to figure out how she was blessed and what kind of incident was there. We have to keep it in mind, and then we can also receive the same kind of blessing, don't we? As we share her story in detail, I hope you feel challenged and you feel inspired. Who is also referred to as the Pitha. She was a disciple from a port city called Joppa. As the Jerusalem church faced great persecution and its believers were scattered in all directions, some of them settled down in Joppa, making the city one of the major places for the gospel. Considering the social atmosphere of her time, it was never easy for her to have faith. For example, Stephen was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. Believers of Jesus were put out of the synagogue. They were scattered to other parts and shared the gospel. Even ordinary believers, not apostles, believers of Jesus were put out of the synagogue and ostracized by the other Jewish people. They were not only left out by their own people, but faced various persecutions as Israel was under the rule of Roman Empire. When Korea was under the colonial rule of Japan, the people's freedom was also restricted in many ways, especially the issues of religion. We had to follow the demands of Japan. They wanted to follow us the way they pleased. There were pressures, religious pressures. Under such a poor circumstance, the woman kept her faith well, though it could have involved risking her own life at times. In such a tough situation, normally people barely keep their own faith. But being a woman, Dorcas zealously spread the gospel and displayed sacrificial deeds of goodness. As in today's title, she did a lot of acts of goodness, and we are talking about that. When you practice charity, her true purpose was to spread the gospel. As you share the gospel, as you go out on the streets and share the gospel, you also provide them with what they need. You sometimes bring them coffee, bring them some food, and bring them pieces of cake. When you visit people's homes, you bring some fruit, and they are welcomed. If you go there empty-handed, you may not be welcomed. So, when people share the gospel, they may have to use a lot of money from their pocket. Because they sow, people listen to them. Dorcas also didn't just... Her true purpose was to share the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, she sacrificed herself. She showed such deeds. As a female disciple with steadfast faith, she could be compared to today's women pastor. She could be compared to today's woman pastor, female pastor, or woman, a female church worker. She warmly gave a hand to people who were pitiful and in desperate need, and who couldn't find help elsewhere. The Bible records that she abounded with deeds of kindness and charity. Ms. Bongnim Lee also shared the gospel with many people. As I remember those times, she also practiced charity and did good, extended her goodness so she could bring many souls. Before this church was founded, she used to live in a different neighborhood. I think you heard her testimony about that. We heard how she made delicious food and invited neighbors to our home and shared. Back at the time, we were not financially better off. So when we made food and invited people, they just came and we were welcomed. So she made food, cooked beautiful food. Even though we were living in poverty, we made food and shared it with our neighbors. The purpose was, she always shared what she'd had. As her deeds piled up, she was able to open the door to their heart, and she didn't think about buying a house of our own. We were living in great poverty. She didn't calculate this and that. She didn't want to increase her wealth. She didn't want to move into a better apartment. She was only focused on construction of the sanctuary. She was focused on sharing the gospel. She was focused on sowing in the kingdom of God. She didn't focus on how to live better financially. And according to God's will, right before this church was founded, the store didn't go, and we were only left with $7 when we found this church. She didn't think about gaining wealth. She didn't think about seeking comfort, physical comfort. I remember that. And Torca's sacrifice and charity, this indicates how she was taking good care of the souls. I think about that. The Bible, although the Bible doesn't have detailed records, we can infer that the widows invited Peter to come, and those women came and asked Peter to save her, revive her. The fact that they invited Peter also means that they were already saved by sharing. This means that Torca shared the gospel with many people and took care of them spiritually. And her deeds are recorded in the Bible, how greatly she must have been honored. But the reason that Torcas could devote herself to good deeds and charity was that her heart was filled with goodness of God. Out in the world, people demonstrate good and charitable deeds to win recognition or in pursuit of some benefits. Yet, we sometimes hear of people who've anonymously and unceasingly donated to charity. When we hear such heartwarming stories, we feel warmth in our heart. Matthew, the Bible says, "But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Dorcas didn't do good to boast of herself or win some compliments. With God's goodness and love filled in her heart, she demonstrated goodness in deed and in truth. Though you've heard a lot about our Lord's love and His sacrifice, haven't you not put priority over your life and personal feelings? Given an excuse that you are busy making a living and can't afford to look after others, have you failed to take care of your parents, siblings, and neighbors? Apart from charity, how much are you praying for their faith and spiritual well-being? While you've been given a duty or a title, if you fail to take care of the souls and leave them losing faith, what would God say to you? Torcas, who'd shown such praiseworthy deeds, died one day. Anyone faces death. Unless you are caught up to heaven alive alongside other saved souls when the Lord descends to the air, you face death and get separated from your loved ones. It's a brief separation. One's death serves as the standard for evaluating his life. As for some people's death, many people mourn it. Their sacrifice and devotion is appreciated and their life is complimented as precious and beautiful. But if someone did a lot of bad things throughout his life and sought only his benefits, people may even celebrate his death, rejoice over his death. Dorcas died of a disease. She faced death. But how did people react to Torcas' death? People who received help from her pleaded with God to bring her back to life. This indicates how tremendously she'd helped others by practicing goodness and love. But even if someone has given us a big favor, it's not easy to ask that he be revived, raised from the dead. But the members of the early churches had witnessed and heard about the Lord's resurrection and watched great manifestations of power through the apostles, so they made such a request. Brothers and sisters, but this isn't to say that when one of your beloved ones faces death, you need to ask God to save him. No one can avoid death, and it's the justice of this life. Justice of this life. Those, after you live a good life and you age and face death, this is also a blessing. If we do our best, if we live a pure life, if we achieve a pure heart and stay faithful until death, if we face death without shame, this is a blessing. Just because you live here many years, it's not, we cannot avoid death. This is not the human cultivation works. During the human cultivation, if the human cultivation is, even if we have to face death, if we face death without shame, we can proudly meet our Lord. We can proudly commit our souls to the Lord. How blessed we would be if we face such a final moment. Those who have accepted the Lord enter heaven after their death. So it's not right, according to the justice, to ask God to raise people whose lives have expired. We have to lead people to Christ and help them be healed and live in good health with prayer. Sometimes you share the gospel and some people reject your gospel. Some of your family members reject your gospel. And you request my prayer for their healing. But more important thing is, you have to share the gospel to them first. Even though they rejected the gospel until now, because even the doctors are out of control, if they are open the door to their heart, then I can pray for them. But if they still reject the gospel, even though I pray for them, it's not easy for God to work for them. But Instead, you can please God so deeply, or you offer like fasting and prayer so much. Then the justice may be fulfilled to some extent. And after their death, there's no way to, what about families who are not saved? You feel so heartbroken for them, and they are at the threshold of death. Before they are at the threshold of death, you have to lead them to Christ and share the gospel. And most of all, you have to evangelize your family. This is the most important. And sometimes you have to pray for, even though your family, this is, anyway, when you request prayer, you have to first lead them to salvation. And just as Torca did, and you have to also check whether you please God or the person who would receive prayer please God. Still, God brought Torcas back to life and had this incident recorded. This was to let us know what pleases Him, and that pleasing Him brings forth marvelous blessings that are beyond our comprehension. Because Torca was revived, you cannot ask God to revive your family members. This is not... You have to know the justice. You have to know the spiritual principle. We have to figure out how she was blessed, how she received blessing. Following Torca's death, people who received her favor sent two people to Peter, who was nearby. At this, Apostle Paul, who had power to revive even the dead, responded to their urgent call and came over. This was possible because Peter had already know about her good deeds. That's why Peter was able to come right over. Just because someone died, Peter wouldn't have come right over. He was a big apostle. He was a big apostle, so he cannot pay a personal visit to everyone who died. Because this woman lived for the Lord. Because Peter heard about her good deeds. This was made possible. Peter arrived. And then the widows who were gathered stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Torcas used to make while she was with them. Can you imagine how thankful they must have been to Torcas, showing all the clothes they received from her and asking him to revive her? This scene shows how beautiful and precious her life had been. Our Lord must have been so proud and happy watching this from heaven. And what great rewards she must have received in heaven. And her good deeds moved heaven and resulted in the amazing blessing, which is a revival. We need to figure out how she was able to receive such a tremendous blessing. She practiced God-pleasing goodness. She didn't keep her goodness to herself, but demonstrated it through positive deeds, saving many souls. Her deeds remained unchanged, even in tough situations. thereby bringing joy to God. Let's say you do good only a few times or cease to practice goodness in difficult times. Then, this is not perfect. As a result, you fail to receive God's blessings. Our Ms. Bongnim Lee, while this church went through trials, you remember how she protected this church? How she prayed more earnestly? How she, even though she prayed in the morning, she, whenever she could, she, during the COVID, we were not allowed to gather for prayer. When we were not gathered, she was so heartbroken. Even when there was no dinner meeting during the COVID, she made sure to pray. She never skipped prayer. She piled up prayer. You remember her deeds. Not only that, she practiced charity. She gave offerings. It wasn't to win recognition, but out of her love for God, she, even though she faced misunderstanding, she did what she had to do. This was considered truthful by God, and God blessed her. But if you seek recognition, if you are seen by God, if you are recognized by God, you work hard. But if you're not, you lose the passion. This is not truthful. God doesn't like such a change of heart. Because Dorcas was steadfast in her deeds, she was blessed. Please keep in mind that if we diligently pile up good deeds, we can reap them in proper ways at good times. How did King Hezekiah pray when he was sick and about to die? From 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 2 onward, we find, "Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. He asked God to remember the good deeds he had done. He beseeched God to remember them. When you are in trouble, when you face a big problem, because you do something wrong, you may face a trouble. Even in trouble, you just ask God to remember your good deeds in the past. You ask God for forgiveness. Father, please forgive me, but please remember my past faults. But in some cases, people just make all things go down the drain. If you do wrong, even your good merits, even your good deeds go down the drain. But as for King Hezekiah's case, his good deeds remained. His good deeds remained enough for him to ask that. But if all his good deeds had disappeared because of her evil deeds, he couldn't have been able to ask God that way. But and God said, God then comforted him, saying, "I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you," and extended his life. This way, our deeds pleasing to God are piled up in heaven one by one and help to bring down God's answers, blessings, and works. There are multiple kinds of deeds pleasing to God, not just charity or good deeds. There are also other kinds of deeds that are pleasing to God, many, many kinds. One of them is prayer. Our prayer according to God's will, our earnest prayer for His kingdom and His righteousness is piled up like savings. Some people receive God's love by earnestly interceding for the church, the shepherd, and other members all the time. Our evangelism efforts and faithfulness are repaid with answers and blessings in our life as well. Not just not only will we receive rewards in heaven, but we will receive blessings in, on the earth. We pile up things and they can at some point come down as blessings and answers. Your devotion, your faithfulness, and your efforts, and God repays you with answers and supplies you with what you need. Some people move God's heart by passionately evangelizing with love for the souls. Pastor Deok Bun Seo, after she met God first, she devoted herself to evangelizing. She suffered from severe throat infection. Attending the Divine Healing Meeting, she thoroughly repented and got healed after receiving prayer from Ms. Bongnim Lee. Thereafter, she testified to how God reached out to her and healed her wherever she went. As she passionately shared the gospel and served, she was called to become a pastor. How has she lived since becoming a pastor? While she herself has passionately evangelized, she led her members to diligently share the gospel and faithfully serve. I'm very thankful for such pastor. She herself is faithful. When pastor is like that, people around him are also become passionate. They share the gospel. You know, they lead members, and those members become good grains. After she did street evangelism, and there was a person who, and we heard people who are passionate, God sends souls to them. Even now, back in 1997, the shepherd complimented her, talking about her case, and she still remains faithful. And at last year's Christmas tree lighting ceremony, we specifically invited newly registered members. Her parish, Pastor Seo's parish, had the largest number of newcomers. As she and the church workers under her leadership became united in such efforts, God sent people who are to be saved. What a blessed life this is. He talked about, the shepherd also pointed out Pastor Lim. He also talked about you back in 1997. There are other people who were received praise, received compliment, and there are people who are still faithful to this day and receive healing, and they are thankful for the grace, and they work faithfully for God's kingdom and work faithfully for God's glory, and they love the shepherd and serve the shepherd, and nowadays they are helping me without changing. They don't do this to be recognized. They just unceasingly volunteer and serve, and then they will be recognized and acknowledged and bear fruit. Some are preaching the Word of God to repay His grace anyhow. Some are wholeheartedly volunteering for God and the church in many ways. How lovable they would look in God's eyes. But what we have to note here is that only when we serve with love for God and gratitude for His grace, God would joyfully receive our faithfulness. If we harbor irritation, anger, and resentment while serving, there is so little to be piled up in heaven. If you seek recognition, if you demonstrate faithfulness in seeking recognition, they don't realize about themselves. They have resentment. When they are not recognized, they feel upset. They harbor resentment. They compare themselves to others. And they are upset about not receiving a compliment, comparing themselves to others. And they have they are upset. This means that they are seeking recognition and compliment. They are not serving with a pure intention. They still have their self remaining. So not much can be piled up in heaven, and they cannot be truly blessed. Torka's case, she was greatly blessed. She didn't calculate this and that. She didn't calculate, if I serve God this way, I will be blessed. If I do this, I will receive a lot of rewards. Even though she had such hope, spiritual hope, she just was very thankful. So she voluntarily practiced goodness. Even though she was not recognized, she just did what she did. And as a result, God accepted her deeds and revived her from death. What about you? While you serve God, if you have lost your passion, you have to know that your deeds are not perfect. Let's talk about another significant kind of goodness. This is to build a sanctuary. Haggai chapter 1 verse 8 writes, "Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and build a temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified." God is the most pleased with the building of a sanctuary and receives the glory. Of course, the temple of our heart, as well as a tangible sanctuary, matters. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 tells us, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are." As we wonderfully build a sanctuary of God through earnest prayer and offerings prepared with all sincerity, we have to rid ourselves of all forms of evil, making the temple of our heart pure. Not only can we store up heavenly rewards in the process, but God abundantly blesses us after the sanctuary is built. We've learned that once we please God, our heart's desires can be answered. And God is exceedingly pleased with the building of a sanctuary. In order to please God and receive heart's answers, you can receive an answer. Or you can know the answer. Since Torcas had done a lot of good and charitable deeds, a large amount of clothing was shown to Peter by widows. Her good deeds weren't displayed just once, but unceasingly, becoming part of her life. Also, we have to be determined to devote ourselves more for our neighbors. Decades ago, Korea suffered poverty as well. Just back in my childhood, I saw a lot of people begging for food. On the streets, people were begging for food, homeless people with shabby clothes on, or they were in tatters. They were also accompanied by a child. As I saw them passing by the street, they were so pitiful, and so I put, and they were asking for money. There were a lot of people of this kind. At the time, Ms. Bong Nim Nim, we were running a store before founding of this church. Ms. Bong Nim Nim brought them inside a house, and when they came, Ms. Bong Nim Nim didn't send her away. When we were having some meal, when we were having some food, Ms. Bong Nim Nim gave them food, shared food with them. She showed such goodness. When she saw someone in need, someone in trouble, she shared our supplies with them. She diligently shared what we had with them. even before the founding of the church, she demonstrated such goodness. And after the founding of the church, she prayed when she prepared meals, and there were seminary students, there were church members who were visiting our residence. She shared what we had, or delicious food with others, shared everything we had. Ms. Bong Nam Ni shared everything we had, everything in my room, and they rejoiced. She rejoiced. She didn't want to. As I looked at Torkas, she was like Torka. And in addition to that, she always knelt down in prayer for God's kingdom and for the souls. But her feet were swollen. Her calves were swollen because she always knelt down in prayer. They stayed swollen. Her legs were swollen. It was like, and they were very hard because she always prayed on bended knees. She not only extended goodness, she always prayed for your troubles. She always prayed for the God's kingdom. When someone looked sad, she counseled him, and she, what a blessed life she was. So we have to imitate her life. We have to, just as she tried to share the gospel, anyhow, so we have to continue her efforts, continue her ministry. Korea, decades ago, we remember how Shepherd and how Ms. Bong Nam Ni, but nowadays we are living in abundance. As people are living in abundance nowadays, overspending has become widespread. We first have to play the role of the light and salt as believers of the Lord, so people in our communities can share what they have and look after one another out of love. We first have to play the role of the salt and light. The same has to be applied in our churches, in churches as well. This church has prayed for world evangelization, divine healing, and charity since its founding. Since our shepherd knew that this is what God wants and is pleased with, he pushed forward with them. By the time this church was founded, we would struggle to pay the monthly rent ourselves. Still, we helped other churches in need. When the denomination requested financial help, he willingly helped out. While he helped many churches in need, he saved souls through the word of truth and manifestations of God's power. He also worked hard to help those members struggling with financial trouble. At age 21, the first department I was assigned to as a pastor was the charity department. The shepherd told me, she said, before the founding of the church, we were financially difficult, but I remember that moment. So you have to make sure that our church members wouldn't have such financial trouble. He asked me that. Now, people in poverty have to feed themselves, so they need rice. So we supply them with rice, or we provide them with cash, or provide them with rice. So I used to drive around in a truck. I carried some bag with cash, and there was rice in the bag. So I visited them, and I offered a service together. And also shepherd said that you shouldn't just give them supplies, but you have to offer a service so that they can believe in God well. So you visit them once a month and offer a service so that people who receive those supplies will also receive a spiritual blessing, and so that they can serve others as well. For many years, I was the head of the charity department, and then I still remember the shepherds. So this is what pleases God. This is what pleases God. We have to always remember that this church and many of us have been greatly blessed by the shepherd who did whatever pleased God without considering his own difficulties or needs. We should also work unceasingly to become a God-centered church and lead a God-focused Christian life. Charity and world mission that God is pleased with, we will carry on with that work. One thing we have to note in practicing charity is that we have to listen to the Spirit's voice. God said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, verse 10, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. If someone is physically healthy and well able to feed himself but refuse to work, being lazy and sluggish, then he shouldn't be helped. Helping such people would rather hinder them from getting up on their feet. Instead, we have to push and encourage them to make a living on their own. We should also be careful not to help those facing a task or tribulations as a result of defying God's will. Helping out such people may bring about trouble upon them, upon ourselves. As for these people, we have to lead them to realize their sins and live a proper Christian life. When Prophet Jonah refused to obey God's will and was running away on a ship, people on board the same ship tried to help him out. But as a result, they too got into trouble. So, in providing financial aid, a church has to choose those trying to get through their difficulties with faith. They include people who became unable to get up on their feet by themselves following an unexpected disaster, those who are physically weak, orphans, widows, children without parents, etc. Dorcas also bore a lot of such beautiful fruits. So those people came out and confessed how she helped them out. Brothers and sisters, there's one more lesson we can draw from Dorcas' case. It's about how much we're appreciating and repaying the grace received from God or others. Following Dorcas' death, people who had been helped by her gathered with gratitude for her favors and positively expressed their grateful hearts. But in this generation, when sins and evil are rampant, people express their gratitude just a few times and think that's enough, even towards their lifesaver. If a person who once offered them great help causes them disadvantage, he'd be considered an enemy. What about you? Once the shepherd received a favor, he never lost his gratitude for it. Even after decades, he regularly expressed his gratitude to the pastor he served before founding this church. Once he was helped by someone, he didn't repay the favor just once or twice, but unceasingly gave thanks, trying to help them anyhow. As we emulate such a heart and actions, we too can receive God's love and blessings. I urge you to think about how much you've appreciated and repaid the favors received and look for things to repent of. Brothers and sisters, doing good indeed pleases God. Since Dorcas did a lot of good deeds until her death, we can tell that she truly lived according to God's perfect will. As a result, God brought His beloved one back to life, demonstrating how pleased He is with perfect deeds of goodness. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 40 through 42, "But Peter sent them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up. And calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. It became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. May you pile up a lot of good, and your good deeds manifest as the amazing ability to bring many souls to the way of salvation." This includes salvation of souls, or the construction of the sanctuary, offerings for the construction of the sanctuary. These are included in the good deeds. But not to seek recognition, not calculating this and that, not having a change of heart, so that you can receive, you may say, "I've been faithful, but why haven't I received answers and blessings?" Don't worry. All you did is piled up in heaven. They're all piled up in heaven. God knows everything you did. God knows everything, remembers everything. At some point, He will give you back on this earth. You can also receive it on this back. Even if you don't receive it on this earth, you can receive them as rewards in heaven. May you pile up a lot of good, and your good deeds manifest as the amazing ability to bring many to the way of salvation.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.